What's going on, Tan and J Man Show Nation? It's Monday night, January 12th, 2026, and I'm back. Pumped to be here tonight. Thanks to my dad for filling in for me last week, and thanks to you, J Man, for holding down the fort, like always.
Yeah, big thanks to Uncle Eddie for stepping in there and filling in for the T-Dog. He always does a great job.
Yep, I had just like a one-day little stomach bug that I couldn't kick, but thankfully I'm better. And one thing I forgot to mention while I went on last week, so I couldn't mention it, this is kicking off season 10 of the Tan and J-Man Show. Yeah. I mean, this podcast will turn 10 in November. November 17th, I want to say. I could be off by a couple of days there. November something.
And we're 22 weeks away from hitting 500 episodes. When would that put us? 22 weeks. I'm going to go count them real quick.
Because this is episode 378 tonight, which is just, I don't know, but like typing in that 10th season today when I was putting, or the other day when I was putting in the episode, I was like, wow.
Our 500 episode should be June 15th, it looks like. So
15th.
Yeah.
Wow. That's crazy.
I know.
Wild. We've covered a lot of good stuff.
Yeah.
A lot of good stuff. So thank you to everybody who's been listening to us since the beginning and watching since 2019, because for a few years, we were audio only. We didn't do video. Yeah. But those days are hard to remember, because for the majority of the lifespan of the podcast, we've been doing simulcast. Audio and video.
Yeah, I much prefer this because, as I've said in the past, it would take us forever just to start the thing because we'd start laughing. Now you just, the show must go on.
And it's so much easier on the post editing, too.
Oh, you, I'm sure. Yeah.
Whip the audio from this. I mean, once in a while it has to be edited a little bit, but not really. Usually, just especially since it got the intros and outros plugged in, you just rip it and. Yeah. Export it and go. Whereas at the beginning, it was have to input the intro and get the audio levels, and input the outro. But that's how you learn. That's how you learn.
Yep. So I do have some birdie bogey for you this week.
Perfect. So you know, last week was a toughie. My goodness. Thanks.
That was a good one. Yeah. That was a good one.
Toughie tonight.
It's not. You have a shot. I would say. There are five quarterbacks in NFL history to have at least five career game-winning drives in the playoffs. Can you name those five? I'll give you four for a par, all five for a birdie for sure. But okay. Five quarterbacks with at least five game-winning drives in the NFL postseason. Birdie or bogey is brought to you by Giretti's Place. I don't even have the read pulled up. Do you have the read pulled up by chance?
Yeah, small-town vibes, big-time flavor. Giretti's Place serves up fresh breakfast and lunch favorites that keep you coming back for more. Located at 701 Main Street in Rochester, Indiana.
I've said it before, but back in the day when I'd in high school, my mom would bring me a lot of times a 103, which was a ham and Gouda panini, to give myself some fuel before I went 0-for-4 in my in my baseball game. So Giretti's holds a special place in my heart.
Well, yeah, and they got good specials going on all the time. This past week, Thursday through Saturday, had specials. They had a crab po' boy, which my uncle got Friday for lunch. It looked really good. They also had the cowboy burger, which right up your alley. That was a juicy burger topped with melted cheese, crispy bacon, crunchy fried onions, and smoky barbecue sauce with classic fries. Appetizers and sides for the week. You had jalapeno poppers, which I've had some of those there. They're really good. Sweet potato fries, also fried green beans. Soups of the day last week, Thursday, was creamy chicken wild rice. Friday, cactus chili. Saturday, broccoli cheddar. And every day, everybody's favorite, a loaded baked potato.
Absolutely.
So, and you can order online as well, dreddysplace.com. So you can order for pickup or delivery.
Man, where was that when I lived there?
It saved you a lot of money.
It did.
Let's be honest. But you can't go wrong. Fresh, honest food, as their tagline says.
I'll be honest with you. If Giretti's would have had that, then it might have put Wendy's out of business, honestly. Because I spent a lot of money.
You and me both at
that Wendy's.
You and me both. And now I don't get Wendy's too often because it's not far, but it's not real close. There's other fast food establishments closer. And the one of the two locations that I go to, the closer one, is terrible. Wow. So I have to go to the further one if I want Wendy's.
Yeah. The Rochester Wendy's people pretty much knew us by name when we'd start walking in there. We went there a lot on Mondays before the show.
Well, a few years ago before I moved, I'm pretty sure it was before I moved, it was, I ordered, I think it was plain spicy chicken combo with a lemonade. At the time I was on a big lemonade kick. Mm-hmm. When I went up to the window, the woman goes, "I should have known it was you by your order." Okay, I've come here way too much.
That's when you know it's time to cut back a little bit.
I probably only boycotted it for a week, though, let's be honest. Oh, man, good times. Good times. But we got a lot to talk about tonight. We got NFL playoffs. Now, the wild card round will be in the books tonight officially after the Steelers-Texans game. We'll be talking about the divisional round. I couldn't think of what the name was. Divisional round. College football playoff, now that we know the national championship is set for next Monday night. Also got Big Ten hoops and a big signing by the Chicago Cubs.
Yes.
Talk about. So a lot going on. What do you want to lead off with?
I can go right into the Chicago Cubs talk. It was a big week for them. It had been kind of a quieter offseason. As Mooney, Moondog worked there back in the day, and he'd hook you up, as you've said.
I don't know, Mooney, though, but after you stopped working there, Josh might have surpassed me with the money spent.
Yeah, I was going there frequently, embarrassingly, too many times. But Cubs, big week. As I said, quiet offseason. They supplemented the bullpen up until this past week, but then they made a big trade for starter Edward Cabrera, who has very, very high upside, but also considerable risk, a lot of risk. I mean, he's often injured on the injured list all the time. However, if he can just stay healthy, he has electric stuff. I mean, he throws 98, 99 with a sinking fastball, and then he throws a 94 to 96 mile an hour changeup. That is just out of this world ridiculous. And he finally started to put it together last year, and then he got hurt again. So hopefully they wouldn't have made the trade if the medicals didn't check out okay. But it's kind of a wait and see, and I didn't think they gave up too much for him. They did give up one of their top prospects, Owen Casey, who came up and played some right field when Kyle Tucker was hurt in September last year and did an admirable job. But he didn't really have a spot heading into this year, and I think he comes with considerable risk himself. So I like that deal. And then Saturday night, big night for Chicago. My goodness. In the middle of the Bears game, Jeff Passan, I don't even know how to pronounce his name. That's what I thought it was, too.
Yeah.
Dropped the bomb that the Cubs signed Alex Bregman to a five-year, $175 million deal to shore up that offense in the infield. As I'm hoping Matt Shaw will kind of switch into a Zobrist-type utility role for this team where he can play everywhere. But Bregman, super high floor, still hits homers, makes a ton of contact, plays really good defense at third base. Credit to Jed for feeling kind of getting out of his comfort zone on both of those deals last week, especially the Bregman one, giving $175 million to a guy. And now Tom Ricketts, too. You just didn't know. And now it looks like Cubs will pass that collective bargaining tax threshold, which we've been kind of pushing them to do forever. It comes with a penalty for sure. But if you want to go try to win a World Series, you got to blow past. I mean, Dodgers have, Mets obviously have, Yankees.
Hasn't worked out for the Mets very well.
Has not worked out for the Mets. I'm very, very happy so far, and the offseason's not done, and I think they'd be smart to add another outfielder as well. And looking at what the other teams in the NL Central have done, I mean, right now I would say projections wise Cubs should win that division by 10 plus games at this point, but that's why you play 162. You just don't know. I mean, thought the Mets would have made the playoffs last year and they absolutely choked. So
on the flip side, I know a couple Red Sox fans. And one of them was pretty outspoken on social media. He's fed up with them.
Right? Yeah.
Absolutely fed up with them.
Yeah. Supposedly they put together an offer that was about $10 million total less than what the Cubs put together. But the Cubs are deferring money too. which I don't think the Red Sox were going to do, which I think hurt their case as well. And yeah, the Red Sox are kind of playing the small market kind of team that they're not. I mean, it's a very large market with a very good TV deal, and they're always on national television and one of the premier teams in baseball. And they are starting to run their team kind of like the Cubs did from 2018 to 2000, you know, 22 or whatever it was before they really start spending money again. And it's a shame. And everyone in baseball needs to spend money. I know some teams don't have the kind of revenue other teams do, but the Red Sox bring in as much money as anyone in the sport, likely. And it's kind of pathetic, honestly. And hopefully in the new collective bargaining, hopefully they come to agreement next year and it will start to punish teams for not spending money. So,
yeah, well, unless you got anything else you want to talk about on the Cubs.
Nope.
Let's do our next five bold predictions in our 26th, to answer your question last week.
All right, great.
Bold predictions of 2026. But first, I got to bring this comment up from Thad Mooney real quick. 2006 to 2009, the amount of paid plus the on the house Nuggets combined, Tanner got. You guys are probably in the ballpark of each other for a lifetime WCA Wendy's consumption average.
Yeah, I would say. Since I moved, my Wendy's consumption is way down. But back in the day, man, it was by far the best in the city of Rochester.
So now what's your highest fast food consumption? I
would say Chick-fil-A for sure. Chick-fil-A. And it's mainly because my wife likes it and it's right by her work, so she just grabs it on her way home. I would say Chick-fil-A one. Culver's is a very close second. Love myself some Culver's. Kind of gotten away from Popeyes a little bit since we moved out to where we live now. It's a little further away, but I would say those are probably the top three: Chick-fil-A, Culver's, Popeyes.
Mine's maybe McDonald's. Mine's McDonald's one because my wife really likes it and it's closest to us.
Yeah.
Two's Popeyes. It's further away, but the amount of money I spend there is kind of embarrassing. And then three's probably Burger King, actually.
Okay. Yeah. I don't get Burger King as much as I did either.
Another close option for me. So
yeah, Cane's too. I forgot I should throw them in the mix. I haven't had them in a while though, but they're pretty close to me as well.
You have to drive like 25 minutes to get to the Cane's.
Yeah, it's not worth it.
No, it's good, but it's I'm not doing that too often. Yeah. So
I would say our Chick-fil-A is about 20 minutes from us, but again, it's right next to where my wife works. She just grabs it on her way home.
Right. It's always quality, good quality.
Yep.
So. All right, the next five bold predictions of the 26 bold predictions for 2026. I'll lead off with my first one. It's very related to what you were just talking about. I got the Cubs winning the National League.
In the National League?
Whew. National League.
Man. Okay.
Didn't say World Series, but I got them getting that.
Sign me up right now, honestly. I also have a Cubs one here that I'm just going to piggyback off of that. Significant less risk than what you had, but Cubs will win the NL Central for the first time since 2000. And well, I guess they won it in 2020. First time in a real season since 2017.
Last year, you predicted that. Year before was they'd finish last.
Yeah, I was mad, and that was an emotional pick by me because I was so mad at them. But
I got a lot of football ones tonight. Second ones. Maybe a little of a homer pick, but I'm sticking with it. I got it right this past year, my bold predictions. I got the Broncos going back-to-back for AFC West titles.
Definitely could see that happening. Let's see here. I have an NFL one here as well. There will be – this was part of my prediction last year. There will be an NFL team that goes from worst to first. The Bears did it. Yep. I'm going to have that as my prediction as well, but I'm also going to pick the team that does it.
I love it.
The Detroit Lions are the easy pick. Although they play in a very tough division, but they're talented. But my pick is the New Orleans Saints. The way they played towards the end of the year, Tyler Shuck looks like a legitimately good quarterback. Bad division. Now, Atlanta could go and hire John Harbaugh or Kevin Stefanski, and they'd be fine. But I'm thinking New Orleans is the team that goes worst first. They're the most likely, in my opinion.
I like that. My third, LSU will not make the college football playoff.
I like it. There was a report today that Sam Leavitt committed to them, transfer from Arizona State. However, it sounds like Tennessee's putting together an NIL package to try to get him. So,
Kentucky was trying at first.
Yeah.
And then it didn't happen. So.
Congress will create guidelines for the NIL.
I hope so.
Hopefully. Yeah.
Another college football one here. I did this one last year. Didn't come to fruition, but I feel better about it this year. Kalen DeBoer will be fired by Alabama.
I thought for sure it was going to be Purdue's making a bowl.
No, I'm not. I'm not. No, no. Spoiler alert, no Purdue football. It's going to be on my 26 bowl predictions. Not going there this year. Nope.
All right. Tony Romo's insufferable butt finally gets demoted to a different CBS crew. It's time.
He said some of the dumbest things yesterday.
It's time. I think J.J. Watt on CBS is fantastic, and he should be Nance's guy.
They're paying him so much money, though. I don't know if they'll demote him. I mean, yesterday he's like, man, I'm telling you, Jim, either one of these teams, they can make a run at the Super Bowl.
Yeah, it's playoffs.
Like, any team in the playoffs can make a run at the Super Bowl. What are you talking about?
His stuff was great the first couple years. You know, he's predicting plays. He's been out of football for so long now that he no longer does that. Doesn't add anything. Honestly, Tom Brady has stepped it up and been very, very good.
Tom's getting better.
Of course, Greg Olson's fantastic. And again, I think J.J. Watt is awesome, and he should be the top guy at CBS.
My last one's probably maybe the most Cubs one's pretty bold, to be honest.
That's my last one's
pretty bold because I'm not sure his health status going into this year, but this guy turned 50 in December, so he's now eligible to play on the PGA Champions Tour, the senior tour where they ride carts. Tiger Woods will win a senior tour event in 2026.
Do you think he would humble himself enough to go and play on the senior
tour? He wants to play on it.
He does. Yeah. Okay.
He's been advocate. Senior tour has been planning for 2 years for him to be ready. Their ratings are going to go way up.
Way up.
He plays. Yeah. And I'm thinking, you know, I don't know what his health is, but I still think he'll play in like the majors and maybe a few PGA tour events, but most of his playing days will be on the senior tour. And if he can get back into playing shape, why can't he beat those guys he used to beat all the time?
He used to beat them. Yeah. He used to beat up on them. Absolutely. Yep. My final one here, at least half of the Final Four field will be from the Big Ten.
I like it.
Yeah. The teams that I think can make a run, obviously Purdue and Michigan. I think Illinois is good enough. It's probably a homer pick, but I think they're good enough to do it.
I definitely think they're good enough. Yeah.
I don't believe in Nebraska. I still don't. Maybe it's just because they're Nebraska, and I probably should start believing. They have a win at Illinois, at Indiana, against Michigan State at home. Like, I probably should start believing, but it's just maybe the name on the front of the jerseys.
And they came back from 16 down.
They did.
At Indiana in the second half.
They did. I don't think Michigan State has the offense. They're tough, though. They rebound. They defend. They got to be able to score, and they about lost Northwestern the other night. I just don't believe in them. And I think that's about it as far as teams that can really make a legit Final Four push. But I think Michigan's good enough to win it all. I think Purdue's good enough to win it all. And if Illinois gets a favorable route, I think they could be a scary 3 or 4 seed that could potentially make a run. So.
Well, yeah, and if they get there, I mean, it's in Indianapolis.
Well, if, say, they have an incredible run and get a 1 seed, it could be almost the exact same.
Yep.
As the 05, because they would play in Chicago, St. Louis, and Indianapolis. Now it'd be jumbled around, but that's how
Chicago, Indy, I think it would be.
Yeah, because it was Indy, Chicago, and St. Louis in 05.
Yep.
It could have some pretty good fan support, should that be the case. Now, it's not going to happen because it'll be either Michigan or Purdue in the Midwest, likely, depending on who gets the 1.
Iowa State could get it, too.
That's a good point. Forgot about Iowa State. They're awfully.
They're ranked number 2 right now. So
there's some good teams in the Midwest. Yeah,
absolutely, absolutely. Sticking with the Big Ten basketball, let's just jump into that real quick. Like I said, Indiana blew a 16-point lead second half to Nebraska. What do you think about Indiana right now? Like, they got a big week this week, Michigan and Michigan State. I forget what order.
Man, I think they play Iowa this weekend, don't they? Or is it Michigan? For some reason, I thought I saw Iowa played at Indiana. I'm going to go look it up real quick.
Iowa plays at Purdue Wednesday.
Yeah, they play there Wednesday. Okay. And then let's see. Iowa plays at Purdue and at Indiana.
Okay.
Indiana, I haven't watched them a ton, but what I have watched them, if they're hitting shots, they're tough.
Right.
But they go cold, they're going to get blown out. They don't have size at all. They haven't really defended all that well. I mean, again, they let Nebraska get all the way back in it. Now, I know Devery's picked up his fourth foul with, what, about 12 minutes left or so, and that probably played a role in that. I think they're a solid team that should compete for, you know, be a bubble team in a sense. I think they're a very, like, classic bubble team that will, depending on how their February goes, will either be in or out. I think they're probably be around that 9 or 10 seed line if the season ended today. So I'm
sure I don't know. Right now I don't think they're in because they don't have a quad one win.
No.
I don't even know if they have a quad two win.
Kansas State at home, maybe?
Marquette's not.
No, Marquette's not even close.
I don't know. I mean, they just don't have the wins right now.
Yeah, their non-con was weak. I mean, the best team they played in the non-con was Louisville, and they handled them with ease in Indianapolis. They played Kansas State at home, beat them. They did play at Kentucky, but they did lose. I forgot about that one. But Kentucky's down. I think Lenardi has them as one of his last teams in at this point.
Inexcusable with that roster.
Yeah, the most expensive roster in college basketball, which really highlights how stupid and how people overreact to those the preseason exhibitions, because Purdue went in there and Kentucky blew them out.
Yeah, blew the doors off. Man.
And look how different the actual season that matters is for both of those teams. But yeah, I just think that's why you got to stack the non-con with quality opponents, because that just puts so much pressure on you heading into January, February. Matt Painter always challenges his team with a brutal non-conference. Brad Underwood, same thing. Tom Izzo, same thing. Brutal, brutal non-cons. And that just gets you, for one, it gets you ready. If you win a couple of those games, you're in great shape, but it also gets you ready for the Big Ten slate as well. And if you're playing, you know, Cupcake Central throughout the non-conference, you're not going to be even close to be ready to play these big-time opponents. So,
Yep. It's you hit the nail on the head there. So they got to get some of these coming up, these big time opportunities for them. So, Purdue, fine week for them. Took care of business at home against Washington, Penn State. Two games that the scores were closer than the games actually were. I was at the Penn State game on Saturday. First game I've been to in Mackey Arena since 2024. Wow. It was a good time. But and Penn State hung in there tough, especially in the first half. They were shooting kind of lights out, wouldn't go away. But Brady Smith, 26 points, 14 assists. Great. Won another Big Ten Player of the Week award back-to-back weeks, I believe, or maybe his second of 3 weeks. I don't know. But, yeah, he was awesome. Oscar Clough had over 20 points. Fletcher Lawyer, 17. I think CJ Cox, 16. This Purdue team is just so darn deep and balanced. They're tough to beat, especially when they take care of the ball. They only had three turnovers, I believe. Shot at a really good clip. The only thing they didn't do well, they didn't shoot free throws well, but in this game it didn't matter. So, but this week, Iowa home on Wednesday, and then at USC on Saturday.
Penn State, their past three games might be the toughest three-game stretch that any Big Ten team will have. They had Illinois at the Palestra, Michigan at home, and then at Mackey Arena. And they hung in there three games.
Yeah, they fought the tails off. Yeah.
They arguably could have beaten Michigan. I think they even had a one-point lead late against a Michigan team that did find a way, that did lose their first game.
They're not going 40-0, as some podcasts were starting to predict.
The way they were killing teams, though, I was wondering, man, I don't know if anyone's going to beat them. But they looked, for the first conference time, they looked mortal.
Conference play,
They about lost at Penn State, as I said, and then Wisconsin in a game they really, really needed to have, too. And maybe they'll kind of go on a run here now.
I hope so.
that'd be a nice little if it pops up into the. I don't even know if they're are they technically a quad one win for Purdue right now. I think they're right on the cusp, maybe
on the road. Maybe I don't.
I think you have to be in the top 75. And last time I saw, I think Wisconsin was in the 80s. But I probably shot up a couple spots to get to that. But that stuff means really nothing at this point.
Right.
We got a good 15 or so, 16 games to play here in Big Ten play. Michigan State struggled with Northwestern earlier in the week, to the point where Northwestern, I think, was up 7 or 8 with about 10 minutes left. But then Michigan State came back and handled them with ease. Elsewhere around the Big Ten, Illinois won both of their games. Nothing overly exciting, I would say. The Iowa game was close. Iowa's an interesting team. They're so much different than they were under Fran. They're tougher, play much, much better defense, but they are not a good shooting team. And Bennett Sturtz actually picked up his fourth foul with 11 minutes left yesterday. And from the 11-minute mark to the time they put him back in with, I think, was about 4.5 minutes left, Iowa was +8 with him off the court. And I was talking to my uncle, who's a big Iowa fan, and he said a lot of times when Sturtz is in there, his teammates just kind of wait around for him to do something. Yeah. And so he goes out and they have to kind of run their offense more, and it worked better than with Sturtz on there. Now, I credit Kylan Boswell for shutting that water off. I mean, Sturtz went 5-17 from the floor, turned it over a couple times. But they're an interesting team who has a very big week. They're not going to win in Maggie Arena, but a massive, massive game really for both teams on Saturday at Assembly Hall. I think both teams really, I think, will be fighting for a bubble spot, and it could be the difference between making it or not making it, here, for them this weekend.
It'll be interesting to see what that home environment's like, because a lot of their crowd might be down in Miami.
That too. Yeah.
Even
that
though
too.
I just heard on the news, most ticket sites have minimum get in the door prices at $3,000. Lower level up to $25,000.
It's I've been to Hard Rock Stadium a number of times now. It's a beautiful stadium. I absolutely love going there. It's one of the smaller NFL stadiums. Mm-hmm. I think it holds 60 to 65 or so. Supply is not as big as what it would be if it were at, like, I don't know, the Rose Bowl or
in Miami, Beaver, even though there's a lot of bandwagon fans there, they're going to nab up quite a few because it's Miami in Miami. So.
It still wouldn't surprise me if we see at least a 50-50 split, though.
Sure.
Because, yeah, as you said, Miami is a very bandwagon. If they're even 9-3, you see barely anyone showing up to games there.
Mitch Miller, would you pay it if it were Purdue? I would think about paying the minimum to get in the door. I would think about it because, I mean, I was talking to somebody the other day. I'm like, if Purdue ever makes college football playoff, I might at least have to try to get to that first one, wherever it is, the first game, you know, assuming they don't have a bye, because it does look fun. Like, and I was talking to, I knew a few people who went to, one of my coworkers went to the Rose Bowl and the Peach Bowl. I don't think he's going to the national championship game, but I could be wrong. He said when he was at the Rose Bowl, they didn't see a lot of Alabama fans, but a few of them he was talking to, and they're like, you have to pick and choose as an Alabama. I mean, they've been there so many times. Yeah. If you follow them completely all the way through every time, I mean, that's just tons and tons of money. So
yeah, and that, you know, they had a couple losses, so they're probably not going to win it anyway, so I'm not even going to go. Yeah, that's interesting.
Yep. So, well, and the couple he talked to at the Rose Bowl, they got tickets late because they didn't even think they'd beat Oklahoma.
Yeah.
You know, so type of thing, but... But so it'll be interesting to see what the environment's like at Assembly Hall against the Hawkeyes. I mean, I'm sure it'll be a good environment.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, guys that are at Miami, I'm sure they're selling secondary market. So I'm sure it'll be a sellout anyway, or pretty close to it. So.
True. Yeah. Good point. Any other Big Ten Hoops thoughts?
Trying to think what else happened this week.
Oregon had a better week.
Nebraska, as we said, won a couple. Ohio State went 2-1, I think. They lost at Washington.
Did they lose that game?
They won in Oregon, though. And then they went 1-2 because they lost at home to Nebraska on Monday last week. Northwestern's probably the worst team in the Big Ten. It's Nick Martinelli and not a whole lot else. They lose on the road at Rutgers, which is a bad loss. But then they host Illinois on Wednesday, and that's been a place where Illinois lost 3 in a row there.
Students will be back, I assume.
I don't know if they'll be back.
I think most colleges will go back this week. Most, not all, though.
I'm going to the Illinois game Saturday, and I'm pretty sure this is the last game without students, which is very late, which stinks because last year is almost the exact same game at home where they lost to USC. No students, 11 a.m. tip. I don't know, but it'll be rocking at Northwestern, and there'll be a lot of Illinois fans there, and hopefully this year should be different, you'd think. But yeah, other than what we've kind of hit on, I didn't watch really any other teams around the nation this week.
I've been so bad at watching stuff outside. Outside of Purdue, I haven't watched much. Like it just
I haven't really either. I've pretty much just watched Illinois. Like Minnesota beat Iowa earlier in the week at the barn, and I watched a good majority of the second half of that game. I don't know if I've watched a minute of Purdue play since the second half against Alabama, maybe. I watched a little bit of the first half when they played Iowa State, but other than that, I haven't really watched them.
Yeah. Big showdown coming up next Saturday.
Yeah, and if Illinois can take care of business this week, it's a potential top 10 matchup.
And Illinois might get them at the perfect time coming off a West Coast swing.
It's Mackey Arena.
I know, but
Purdue sometimes when they face a team that's ranked in the top 15, they ramp that crap up. So
yeah, sometimes.
I'm not overly looking forward to that, nor should I.
It's the only time they meet, unless they meet in the Big Ten tournament or NCAA.
Yeah,
tournament.
And there's a good chance Illinois 16-3 coming in, Purdue's 17-1 or something like that. There's a good chance, so it'll be a very hyped matchup, for sure. Of course, that depends on if Illinois can take care of business.
Purdue's got to take care of business, too. I mean, they got three games in between that. I mean,
they do.
Illinois
has Washington at home next week, Minnesota at home Saturday at Northwestern. So, on paper, they should be able to take care of those three. But
yeah, we'll see. Basketball. Yep. Basketball's weird.
Yep. I'm glad they're getting that game out of the way early instead of in March like last year. I think it was the last regular season game, wasn't it, for both of them? It was like a Friday night right before the Big Ten tournament.
Yes.
You got to wait all year to play them. And then it was a big time matchup. Luckily, Illinois was able to come back and win. Been living off that high for 10 months.
Year before they played late. It was late February, early March.
Yeah. And then the year before that, the year before that at Mackey was the final regular season game as well. So they've in the past two games at Mackey have been very, very close. Purdue had gotten off to 20-point lead in each of them, and Illinois was able to scratch and claw back to make it a one-possession game with about 10 seconds left, something like that. So if Illinois only loses by single digits at Purdue, I'd be pretty happy. But that's just a loser defeatist mentality that I have.
Yeah, that's not optimistic there, man.
It's not. Nor should I be going into Mackey Arena. They've won there once in the past 16 years or something like that. So,
well, you want to get educated.
I do, always. Today.
And learn about some sporting events that have happened on January 12th. Let's see here. On this day, 1946, the NFL champs, the Cleveland Rams owner Daniel Reeves, announced his plans to move team to Los Angeles to avoid having to compete with the incoming AAFC Browns team.
Ah, it's a different day back in the 40s.
Different day. On this day, 1958, the NCAA added the two-point conversion to scoring system.
Nice.
On this day, 1966, Boston Celtics coach Red Auerbach recorded his 1,000th NBA career victory. That combined it for regular season and postseason wins. On this day, 1969, can you tell me who played in and won Super Bowl III?
69, that would have been the Indianapolis Colts and the New York Jets.
False.
What was it?
The Baltimore Colts.
Oh, you son of a gun. Got me.
And the Baltimore Jets won. Colts.
I should have just said the Colts and the Jets. That's
Who was the MVP?
I would say Joe Namath, Broadway Joe.
Joe Willie Namath. Yep. On this day, 1975, who played in the Super Bowl? I do not remember what Roman numeral that is.
75. Well, if three was in 69. Yeah, that'd be nine. 75, it's only 6 years.
Oh, I was thinking it was 66. Yeah. You're right. You got it.
75, I would imagine it's probably Cowboys Steelers or something.
You got one of those teams.
Cowboys?
Steelers beat the 6.
Be who?
Vikings.
Oh, Vikings. That makes sense.
Steelers beat Vikings. Who was the MVP?
Bradshaw? Lynn Swann?
Franco Harris.
Franco Harris.
Yep. On this day, 1986, who won the AFC Championship and who won the NFC Championship?
It'd be the New England Patriots. I believe they beat the Miami Dolphins.
They did, 31-14.
Yeah, my dad still talks about that game because I think Dolphins swept the Patriots in the regular season. And then, of course, Chicago Bears.
Bears shut out the Rams, the Los Angeles Rams, 24-0, which now that we see those two teams play this weekend.
Yeah.
On this day, 1988, Pittsburgh Pirate outfielder slash first baseman Willie Stargell was elected to the Baseball Hall of Fame.
He's good. I read his autobiography in high school, I believe.
On this day, 1992, who won the AFC and who won the NFC?
AFC was Buffalo Bills. NFC was Washington Redskins.
You got it. The Bills beat the Broncos 10-7, and the Redskins beat the Lions 41-10.
The only reason why I know that is because the Bills-Redskins Super Bowl was the day I was born.
There you go. On this day, 1997, who won the AFC and the NFC?
97, that would have been the Denver Broncos won the AFC. Nope. New England Patriots won in 97.
They beat the Jaguars 20-6.
Green Bay Packers.
They beat the Panthers 30-13.
All
right. On this day, 2006, Mark Messier got his number 11 jersey retired by the New York Rangers. On this day in 2015, who won the College Football National Championship?
2015, would that have been?
First year of the playoff.
First year of the playoff. Was that Ohio State?
Number 4,
Cardale Jones.
Beat number 2, Oregon, 42-20.
Cardale Jones versus Marcus Mariota.
Also on his day in 2013, something happened in Denver that I'm not going to talk about. Still think about it way too often. And that's going to do it for the On This Day segment, which is brought to you by Blue River Digital. Blue River Digital is a full-service smart marketing agency. They help businesses simplify marketing and grow with intention. Their focus is on system, strategy, and long-term results, not hype or one-off tactics. They offer digital marketing, website development, graphic design, printing and direct mail, signage and vehicle graphics, corporate apparel, promotional items, and AI and automations. They work with small, medium, and large businesses spanning across the United States with a strong presence in Northern Indiana. Contact them today at 260-248-2749 to see how they can help you with your digital marketing. Great company to work with. Great company to work with. All right, J-Man, before we get into football talk, I got blind rankings for you.
All right.
Which is football related. So we saw Brandon McManus have a pretty tough day. Pretty yeah. Tough night for the Green Bay Packers, missing 2 field goals and an extra point in a game they lost by 4. So I got 5 different Miami Dolphin kickers.
Oh, boy.
I want you to blind rank them on who you want taking the game-winning kick in the playoffs. If you know,
Dolphins kickers have stunk my entire life for the most part.
Got a lot of interesting ones here. But I'm starting off with one who was a Dolphins kicker for 155 games from 1997 through 2006, Orlando Mare.
Lindo Mare, he was a good kicker. He was at one time before kickers got really good. The all-time leader in accuracy. Struggled with that one. And now he's no longer. I think he was like 37 for 43 one year or something. I'm going to put him at number 2.
Number 2. All right. I mean, there's some decent options here to pick from. I'm trying to pick from some that have played a decent amount of games, of course. So going with a kicker who played for 76 games for the Dolphins from 2008 to 2012, Dan Carpenter.
Dan the Man Carpenter. I one of the biggest kicks in Dolphins history, not Dolphins history, one of the biggest kicks of my lifetime came when he was a member of the Buffalo Bills. He missed it in overtime and gave the Dolphins an easy chance to go down, make a field goal, and make the playoffs because of that one. I'm going to put him at four. Wasn't a big fan of him. Yeah.
This year's Dolphin kicker, Riley Patterson.
He had the best season a Dolphins kicker has ever had. He's an inexperienced guy, but I think he went like 29 for 31 or something. Doesn't have the strongest leg.
27 for 29.
27 for 29. Okay. I knew
34 for 35 and extra points.
Yeah, he had a good year. Pretty consistent. Wasn't tested all that much in big, big moments. I'm going to put him five just because of only 1 year.
This guy was only a Dolphin kicker for 1 year in 2017. Cody Parkey.
Oh, boy. Three. He actually had a good year with the Dolphins that year. And then, of course, he goes to the Bears, and he's known for the double doink. But he had a pretty good year in 2017. I'm going to put him three.
Put him at three. So you got one. Is number one left?
Number one left.
Number one left. All right. Well, I think you thought I was going with a certain guy who kicked for 116 games from 2018 to 2024, Jason Sanders, but he's not an option. He's not an option. So we're going with the kicker in 2013 and 14 for 32 games, Caleb Sturgis.
I have to put him one. He was the worst kicker in Dolphins history, so that one really backfired. I was hoping Sanders was going to be there. Sanders has
six
been
for 13.
Yeah, he was bad. In fact, my dad and I went to a Dolphins game in New England, in Foxborough, and Dolphins drive all the way down there. They get the ball first, drive all the way down there, go to take a lead against Tom Brady. He gets it blocked. It gets ran back for a touchdown. The place is up for grabs. You can barely hear yourself think. That's my lasting Caleb Sturgis memory. They took him in the
71. I read that wrong. That was from 50 plus 6 for 13.
That checks out as well.
Yeah.
55 for 71 is not very good though. No. Especially with how good kickers are today.
77.5%.
Yeah. He was like a fifth round pick too. Jeff Ireland used a fifth rounder on him, and he was brutal. I was hoping you were saying Sanders. Sanders missed all year with an injury. He's still with the Dolphins. He just hurt all year. Somehow a kicker got hurt. But Sanders was a guy who I don't remember him missing a clutch field goal. He'd miss them in the second quarter and tick you off, but he always hit the clutch ones. Re-rank. Definitely put Mare at one. I'm going to put Dan Carpenter two, Patterson three, Parkey four, and Sturgis five.
It's fair.
Good list though. I mean, it's been bad.
I almost pulled out Jay Feely. Just because he's on TV?
Yeah, he was there for, I think, 1 year, and they were bad
1 year,
that year.
16 too. Games, 2007.
Yeah, Shane one
Graham
and 15
was there for
only
two,
Shane Graham.
Two games in 2011. Nate Koenig for two games in 2012.
Don't even remember that.
Andrew Franks almost pulled him
out. Yeah, Franks hit a clutch one in that same game that I was talking about that Dan Carpenter missed. They come down there, and stupid Tannehill throws in the middle of the field. It was fourth down. They had to rush old Andrew Franks on there, and he got the kickoff with 1 second left, nailed a 54-yarder to send it to overtime. So I forgot about Andrew Franks. He stunk, too. I think he's an accountant now. He was in the NFL for 2 or 3 years, something like that.
But, I thought about being a real jerk and naming a guy who played for the Dolphins for 2004 and 2006, but only attempted one field goal. And he's one for one, Wes Welker.
I remember that one. It was like a 30-yarder. I do remember that.
29 yards, I believe.
So 29, yeah.
Yep. Bill Dramatica kicked one game for the Dolphins.
Forgot that.
Bryant kicked three games.
Yeah, Matt Bryant was there, and they cut him, and then he goes on to play 15 more years or something like that, which, again, checks out.
Yep. So, yeah.
They stink. So. But they have a new GM, and now they're going to have a new head coach as well.
Who do you want? Who do you want as the head coach?
I don't care, honestly, at this point. Ask me next year this time if I'm okay with the choice, because I don't know. I've heard Jeff Hafley's name bandied about, Green Bay's defensive coordinator, who actually had decent success at Boston College for 4 years before he left to become defensive coordinator. He was bowl eligible 3 out of 4 years he was there. So at least he has head coaching experience of leading a program. So I've warmed up to him. Obviously, Harbaugh's being thrown around. I haven't seen Stefanski's name too much.
I heard Jesse Minter.
Jesse Minter, okay. I don't think Chargers. Yeah, they haven't requested an interview with him yet. The only two guys I've seen are Halfley and then Chris Shula, which would be an interesting one. LA Rams defensive coordinator, of course, the Shula name. He's Shula, Don Shula's grandson. But again, when you hire a guy like that, there's a good chance you're going to have to fire him sometimes. Yep. So are you wanting to fire a Shula?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. So, but that is the blind ranking segment, which is brought to you by Performer Print Shoe Promo Group. If you're looking for a trustworthy, dependable resource for next trade show, company picnic, or sales meeting in 2026, Performer Print Shoe Promo Group has over 50 years combined experience in promotional products and commercial print. They strive for fast and efficient response to all your print needs, so you need to look no further. Let them be your one source print and promotional company today by giving Barbara Van Weinsberg a call at 574-210-3815. All right. College football, real quick. We know the national championship is set. Indiana Hoosiers, 1 seed. Miami, Florida Hurricanes, the 10 seed. Third year in a row, no SEC in the championship. Yeah. So Miami won a classic over Ole Miss, and Indiana put an absolute thumping like they have on everybody lately against Oregon.
Yeah, the Miami game was fantastic, back and forth, back and forth. And then Carson Beck runs it in for a touchdown to win the game. They also got away with pass interference there on the Hail Mary, which it stinks. They're not going to call that in that time when they would any time other than the final play of the game. But is what it is. Probably didn't mean a whole lot anyway. But Miami's in after a lot of people said they shouldn't have been into the playoff at all. So credit them for
They got a nasty defensive line.
They do, and they have a big offensive line. They run the ball well. Not a believer in Carson Beck, but he made enough plays to win. And then Malachi Toney's a stud as well.
He's got a lot of speed.
Ton of speed. Indiana's just bludgeoning. Teams. First play of the game, pick six. Yep. And that just kind of set the tone. Oregon was able to go down and score to tie it, but then after that, it was just an absolute buzzsaw. I don't – have they put a line out for that game yet? Whatever it is, hammer Indiana, which is we've talked about it so much. It's hard to believe. It's like I keep thinking
I'm having a nightmare. I know.
Mean,
it's just and they're killing in the portal. 8.5 Indiana 8.5.
That's way lower than it should be. It should
over
be,
over 100 is 48.5.
It should be closer to 15.5, I would think. I would be right now shocked if Indiana doesn't win handily. Just with the way they've been doing, they just seem like a team of destiny. We're going to see an Indiana National Football Championship in the year 2026.
I'm ready for next Monday to be the worst sports night of my life.
Yeah.
It would be. I'm sorry. I've seen Indiana basketball. I was young. Saw them lose a national title in 2002. Seen Notre Dame get there twice and lose. Mm-hmm. But this one, yeah, because I'm already prepared for them to win. So –
yeah. You might want to save a PTO for that entire week next week.
I work remotely 4 days.
That's a week, good so point. That's
I don't point. Have to put up with it too bad. Everybody's been pretty good. I couldn't believe though the amount of coworkers I have Friday. Like, you're rooting for IU tonight, right? And they're like dead serious.
Seriously?
I'm like, no, I'm not. Why? They're from Indiana. I'm like,
who cares?
You don't get it. Like,
no.
What does IU winning do for me?
Nothing.
It only hurts. Purdue's got to recruit against them every year. Yeah. They play them every year. There's no hindsight in Indiana winning this for me at all.
Yeah.
You know?
Nothing. Who cares if they're from your state? You think I'd root for Northwestern in anything?
No.
Heck no.
Yeah.
No sense.
Yeah, it's incredible. I don't even know what to say about it anymore. They're bludgeoning people. They don't make mistakes. They're so well coached. They're killing in the portal. They're building a pretty good little program, and it's unbelievable.
Yeah, a lot of luck involved. I mean, who would have thought? Last year. Yeah, well, I'm not even just talking about the games. Like, just hiring Kurt Cignetti. When they bring him on, it's like, please just win 6 games, 7 games for us, and we'll be happy. And now he's out there 16-0 in the national championship game.
Yep.
Crazy.
Oh yeah, but they're you know, they don't care about basketball right now, but they still are winning about five banners.
Oh yeah, haven't won one in 40 years, but they'll tell you about it.
I know a lot of Notre Dame fans that are pulling for Miami pretty heavy.
Oh good,
they're like, we haven't won one since '88. We're supposed to be the football school in the state. Like,
good.
What's going on here? So
I'm glad to hear that.
But I also know some too that have been Notre Dame football fans ever since I've known them, and they're wearing IU stuff right now. So
yeah, that annoys you.
I've seen that too. I know, you know, I have respect for, I can count like on both my hands, literally, that's it, people I know who have always been diehard Indiana football and basketball fans. I am happy for those individuals. Mm-hmm. I really am.
For sure.
These other ones, these reversibles, they can kick rocks.
Yeah. I'm happy for those individuals, but at the same time, I'm not rooting for them.
Oh, I'm still not rooting for them. Don't get me wrong. If one of them tried to tell me, now, if come March, if Purdue's in basketball and Indiana's not in, I'll be rooting for them. No,
they're liars.
You will not.
They're liars.
No way. You didn't do it 2 years ago.
Yeah.
No, you did not. So,
oh, absolutely not.
You know what I'm saying? So,
yeah.
Oh, man. But, yeah, we'll talk more about it next Monday, which, I mean, that's the game itself. But
Yep.
NFL playoffs, though. What was your big surprise for you?
I wouldn't say there was any big surprises. The games were awesome, though.
Oh, fantastic.
Up until last night's game, that was a
snoozer. Even last night should have been closer than it was.
But. Yeah. I mean, it set the tone. First game, LA at Carolina, where Carolina, man, I was shocked because I thought LA was going to go in there and smack them, especially
after LA got Carolina. Two scores?
Yeah.
I'm like, Carolina, go home.
Yeah. Especially after Carolina beat them so easily in the regular season, I thought LA would come out and really handle them. But man, Carolina had the lead at the 2 minute warning there. And Matt Stafford made some great plays. But then the game of the week, and maybe the game of the year, on Saturday night, Green Bay Packers and Chicago Bears. Bears have done it now 7 times. They've come back in the fourth quarter.
Cardiac kids, man.
That's a good culture there. They need to start off a little faster. The play of the game, though, was that little ball that Caleb Williams floated up on fourth down that somehow
just got it off too before he got hit in the leg.
Just got it. If obviously if they don't complete that, it's over.
Right.
It's a 12-point game at that point. 4.5 minutes left. It's
some are calling it best passing Bear history. Could be.
It's hard to argue.
Could be.
Yeah, it was a perfect throw, especially with the, you know, the game itself, what happened after that. And then the Bears found a way to get a stop and then found a way to get another one after they took the lead. So Bears almost, I wouldn't say a team of destiny, but it feel pretty close to it.
And I'm gonna get roasted. But I find them, they're very entertaining to watch. Uh-huh. I find them very easy to root against them.
Oh yeah.
Because
definitely,
I think Ben Johnson's extremely arrogant. I think their players are extremely arrogant.
Yeah.
Grading the cheat. I get it. The Packers have owned you for a long time and you've had no reason to celebrate, but the grading the cheese, F the Packers in the locker room.
Yeah.
You play them twice a year, boys.
Yep.
And now LaFleur's probably coming back.
Yeah, they're going to be ready for him next year.
NFL needs that juice, though. We need that.
Definitely need it.
You know, so, but
yeah, sports have turned into too much buddy-buddy. There's not that rivalry anymore. Right. And I'm glad to see that start to come back. But heck of a game. The funny thing is, I fell asleep on the couch in the third quarter when it was 21-6, and I woke up, it was 21-16. I'm like, oh. Cool. Yeah. I checked my phone. Cubs assigned to Alex Bregman. I missed that. And then the Bears play a heck of a game. So heck of a night in Chicago.
I think the Bulls and Blackhawks both won too.
The Bulls definitely did because, in fact, Io DeSumo for the Bulls had over 20 points and they were interviewing him. And he asked what the Bears score was. He says 21-6. And he goes, watch him come back. And they did. So he walked into the arena wearing a cheese grater on his head. Because, of course, he's a Chicago kid anyway. Big night. It's a rare good night for a Chicago sports fan.
And then the White Sox. Womp, womp,
womp. Yeah, yeah. There's White Sox are sitting there.
I heard a story about the cheese graters that everybody's been wearing. That company used to make the cheese heads. Got a cease and desist from the Packers. So in response, they started creating the cheese graters. So
that's funny.
Pretty good.
That's good stuff.
Pretty good. But that game was good. Bills Jaguars was entertaining.
Very good. Yeah, Bills found a way to get it done, and Trevor Lawrence had a chance for a, you know, a legacy drive, and first play throws a pick to end it there.
Stared his receiver down, but Gabe Davis torn ACL.
Is that what happened?
ACL for the Bills. So.
I saw when it happened, and they said his knee was so swollen they couldn't even really do any imaging last night. So
they reported today torn ACL. Right. But it sounds like Curtis Samuel and Ed Oliver are practicing. So get those two guys.
Interesting. The Niners game was also good. In fact, I think the first four games over the weekend, the team that had the lead at the 2-minute warning did not win that game.
Incredible.
It is incredible.
What Kyle Shanahan is doing in Robert Saleh, DC, it wouldn't surprise me if he's a head coach.
I would love if the Dolphins interviewed
him. He's tough. With all their injuries, unbelievable coaching job.
Absolutely. But probably the best of his career, honestly, because I think people thought coming into the year, if they have a rough year, maybe it might be a change of scenery tour. He saved himself for sure.
Yep. Tonight, Steelers-Texans, who do you like?
This will be the J-Man's Book of Prediction of the Week. The Pittsburgh Steelers have won 21 straight home games on Monday Night Football. Wow. That's crazy. That ends tonight. Houston Texans beat them. I just think they're tougher. That defense is nasty. So give me Houston. J-Man's last game. That might be part of my bold predictions next week. We'll see. J-Man's Book of Bridge of the Week brought to you by Travis Watchering, Insurance Agency for Life, Home, Auto, Business, Renters, Workers' Comp, and Farm Insurance. Contact Travis 219-869-4561. Book it!
All right, so I also have the Texans winning tonight. So let's predict the divisional round of the playoffs. We don't know the times of the games yet, or on Saturday, or the channels. That'll be announced after tonight's games. But we'll go NFC first. San Francisco at Seattle. Seattle's 7.5-point favorite.
So one of my bold predictions last week was that neither number one seed would win a game. I got to stay true to that. Give me the Niners in that one.
I will take the Seahawks in that one. And then the Buffalo Bills, 1.5-point favorites on the road at Denver.
That was probably the one team you were hoping not to see.
It was just because of number 17, but that's all they got.
It is.
But that's very, very, very good.
That is James Cook's good too.
Yeah.
But they don't have anyone to throw the ball to. Their defense is pretty good, but
not the run defense, but the pass defense.
Yeah, their run defense is trash. But yeah,
never can run the ball. So
17 is scary enough for that one. I'm sure you were rooting pretty hard for LA last night. Honestly, you much rather.
I was. I felt dirty as a Broncos fan for the Chargers,
especially with how bad that offensive line is. I mean, Broncos might have gotten 12 sacks against
Herbert. It looked like he was gonna die. Last night.
I read that New England had 30 pressures last night.
I mean,
30.
You know, I get on him. You get on him. Six seasons, no playoff wins. But I don't know what he was supposed to do with that line.
Not last night.
Like, he couldn't
do nothing. He didn't play well, but sorry, Tanner. I got to stick with Buffalo just because of my
I love that Buffalo's favorite. I think Denver's going to be fired up. Denver's pass defense statistically number one in the league. I hope they smack Josh Allen around and get him a little banged up. I'm taking Broncos in a close one.
Yeah.
This is Josh Allen's second time playing at Denver. First time in front of fans. The only other time was 2020.
Interesting.
And Bills killed the Broncos that day. I had to look it up. I couldn't even remember the game. I was like, oh, it's 2020. That's why. That season's such a blur for me that year. Sunday, Rams at Bears. Rams are 4-point favorites.
Give me Rams, although they have not played well in cold weather. They only played under 50 degrees once this year, and it was on Saturday. But it's supposed to be 16 degrees is the high in Chicago, so that could be interesting. But give me the Rams. I think they're better.
I ripped on the Bears earlier for being arrogant, so I'm going to get their fans a little bit back on my side, taking the Bears.
Yeah.
At home. And a close one again, but not a comeback. They get the lead and hang on. And then the Patriots, we both have them playing the Texans, but it's going to be Texans or Steelers.
Oh, man. I think New England either way, just because they're at home. They're good. They're legitimately good.
I'm going Texans over Patriots if it is them. If it's Steelers, I'm going Patriots.
That's fair.
Changing up a little bit. So should be fun, though. This NFL season has been incredible.
It has been good.
Yep.
And if Josh Allen can't get to a Super Bowl this year, I don't know if he's going to. I mean, no Mahomes, no Lamar Jackson, none of that.
But it's funny. Like,
he does have to go on the road.
This is our year. This is our chance. I'm like, how about the other teams you've had that are better than this one?
That's
you never said that because of those other quarterbacks. So.
Yeah, that's fair. Birdie or bogey, there are five quarterbacks with at least five game-winning drives in playoff history. Can you name those five?
John Elway?
He is one of them. He has six of them.
I was scared after I said I thought he might have four. Gosh, some of these guys I just don't remember being down too much in the playoffs. He played in so many playoff games. Tom Brady?
He has 14 of them by far the most.
Joe Montana?
He is one of them. He has five.
So I got three so far, right?
You have three. One more for a par, two more for a birdie.
How about Brett Favre?
Incorrect.
Damn it.
He is not even on the top 20.
How about Dan Marino?
Dan Marino had four of them.
Ah, shoot. All right. Well, I'm starting off with a bogey, but I'm throwing some more out there.
All right.
Peyton Manning?
Negative.
Yeah, I didn't think so. I'm confident in that one. Ben Roethlisberger.
He had four of them.
Gosh, dang it.
You're going to kick yourself for one of them.
Oh, I'm sure I will.
In fact, this guy has the second most.
Drew Brees?
Drew Brees has three of them.
Just give it to me. I'm all right.
Patrick Mahomes has seven.
Earlier in my head, Patrick Mahomes, did I blank when I'm guessing.
And then the guy tied with Montana with five is Eli Manning.
Yeah, I wouldn't have guessed that one. I should have got Patrick, though. Darn it. Oh, well. Starting off with one over par. That's fitting.
Yep. Me and you both. Thanks for watching the Tan and J-Man show. And we'll be back at her with another episode next Monday. Have a fantastic week, everybody.